Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is the Savage Nation, retro forward. Let's call it the retro forward Savage Nation. Going backwards and forwards at the same time, welcome to the program. Playing a little Who from the Vietnam War era. Raise the volume because I don't know if they're listening. I have no idea. You see the story on about Clinton with the alleged Hurley affair? And she slept in the next room? I mean, is that worth talking about? Do I have to go down to the level of Jerry Springer to get your attention so you'll pay attention to what's really going on? The answer is yes. I saw it on the Drudge Report. It said, Hurley's ex-lover caught on bombshell audio recording revealing ex-president's White House sex romps behind wife Hillary's back. Ooh. The philandering husband of the former... I don't even want to do this. It's dropped by an actor named Tom Sizemore. I don't even like his name. Because to me, size doesn't matter, especially in an actor. I mean, actor Tom Sizemore? What is he? Why would you believe a word that an actor says? That's why we're not going to do it. I'll tell you what we're going to do now that I've provoked you with some salacious headline on the Savage Nation. The Republicrats have put out an ad touting immigration reform, meaning amnesty, and it's being funded by none other than the undershirt-wearing Zuckerberg. Zuckerberg is one of the lowest forms of humanity, in my opinion. The man makes a fortune, God bless him, and then instead of keeping his mouth shut, no amount of money is enough for Zuckerberg of Facebook. So he now works with the illegitimate to push amnesty so he can have cheaper labor. And then they mask it, they wrap the desire for more greed in a sugarcoating of compassion for the worker. So I want to play for you the new ad that I cannot believe they would put out, touting immigration reform, calling it a Republican ad. Listen to clip one.
House Republicans have a conservative solution to fix our broken immigration system. The plan? Step one, secure the border and tough employment verification. Step two, anyone in America illegally undergoes a criminal background check. Step three, pay fines, taxes, and learn English. No amnesty. But a chance at the American dream for those brought here as children. Step by step, House Republicans want to fix the immigration problem, which will strengthen our economy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. This is a good one. So let's go down the proposals of the Republicrats for no amnesty. Let's see. Step one, secure the border. Haven't they done that already? Why must anything new be passed to secure the border, since I, Michael Savage, and many others have been screaming about it for at least 20 years? What do you mean? If we pass the law, then they're going to secure the border? They could do that without a new law. I'm sure there'd be a million Americans who would volunteer their time to build that wall. Two, toughen employment verification. That's already the law. What do you mean, toughen? It's already the law. Now, wait, this is the best part. Step two, Teddy. He's my dog, by the way. Step two, Teddy. Anyone in America illegally, ooh, they use the dirty word according to the Democrats, illegally, undergoes a criminal background check. Who is going to conduct the criminal background check? Are they going to knock on the door of every immigrant family in America and say, can we see your papers? Now, here comes the best. Step three, pay fines. Who is going to collect those fines? Who is going to teach? Here's the best one. This is why I really ran this for you. Learn English. Now, are they going to create a new department of English police? Who are going to be the English police? That would mean Obama would have to create a whole new department of, I guess, English police, and they would have to be bilingual, and it would probably be manned by illegal aliens who speak both languages to make sure that the illegal aliens who are not being hired by the government continue to speak English. The whole thing is crazy. It's a crackpot. It's a smokescreen. Don't call me on it. There's nothing else to talk about. Representative Jackson Lee, she was a laugh before she was a laugh. Jackson Lee was a laugh before Obama became president. She's becoming the Coney Island of the political world. Listen to her in clip two.
We're not going to believe the call of all of America, because people need work, and we're not doing right by them by creating work. And I believe this caucus will put us on the right path, and we'll give President Obama a number of executive orders that he can sign with pride and strength. In fact, I think that should be our number one agenda. Let's write up these executive orders, draft them, of course,
Good. It's good to understand that the Congressional Black Caucus is now going to be the author of executive orders, because the fact is that they're smarter than everyone else. They have a special place in American society. And it's good to know that the executive orders that Obama will pass or will sign will have been written by Sheila Jackson Lee and members of the Congressional Black Caucus, bypassing other members of Congress, because after all, that's the diverse way. That's the American way. Don't call me. There's nothing to say about it. I'm still warming up. I've got to get you warmed up, too. It's only a few minutes after the hour. And I'm not interested in talking about this. I'm not even interested in talking about immigration. In fact, I don't know what I'm interested in. I actually want to talk about cancer. And the reason I want to talk about cancer is because I want to talk about two subjects, cancer and heroin, the heroin epidemic. And I'll tell you why. Well, the heroin epidemic is because it's an epidemic that's a sub rosa epidemic, and it's a direct result of Hollywood. Can you name a movie that Tarantino or Harvey Weinstein has done over the last number of years that doesn't either have a gun in it or a heroin needle? Can you name one movie done by any of them that has not shown heroin to be a chic, cool drug for white middle-class youths to use? No, you can't. So I want to talk about that and cancer, because a good friend of mine who, I don't want to mention his name. Maybe you know him. Maybe you don't. If you live in San Francisco, you've heard me talk about my good friend Lorenzo, who owns the North Beach restaurant. I may as well say it. He was diagnosed with esophageal cancer a while ago, and he was almost killed by the local famous doctors in, I think, Stanford. I warned him not to let them use him as a guinea pig. I said, stop. They're experimenting on you with experimental drugs. All they want to do is write another paper saying the patient died, but the results look promising. We need more money for research. Anyway, none of the garbage that they put him on, because I saw this happen to members of my own family. I saw what they did to my uncle 40 years ago, where my aunt went into Long Island Jewish Hospital. And this guy was a strong guy. He was a runner in the 1920s, a vegetarian all of his life. So he got cancer, the guy's suffering, dying of liver cancer, and they won't give him any morphine. My aunt, who was from Russia, looked at the intern and almost grabbed him by the neck and said, what good are you? She said, you can't cure and you can't kill. Well, those words never left my mind. You can't cure and you can't kill. At least give the guy some drugs. Now speed the clock forward. Lorenzo goes, and he's the kind of guy who's going to believe what the doctors tell him. Well, all of the chemotherapy, all of the radiation did nothing but weaken him. So he's now in Germany at a clinic which I will not mention. And guess what? They're using alternative medicine. They're using, as far as I can tell, mega doses of intravenous vitamin C and other therapies that I'm not aware of, which has been around quite a while. And he just called me from Germany and he said, Michael, I've got good news for you. I hope hope it holds. He said, the cancer cells are diminishing and my immune system is coming back up. I was so happy to hear that, because I don't think there's a listener to this show who has not had someone either die from or is currently suffering from cancer. And there is so little known about the alternative opportunities for treating this horrendous number of diseases called cancer. Because, of course, we all know it's not a disease. It's a number of diseases. How many of you have heard about alternative therapies for cancer? And I'm not going to propose any on the air, because then you'll ask me where they can get it, and I'm not in the business of selling it. I suggest that you read the best book ever written on it. It was written by Linus Pauling and Ewan Cameron. Ewan Cameron was a Scottish surgeon. They wrote a great book called Cancer and Vitamin C many years ago, and I'm going to talk about that for a minute. You want me to talk about immigration? I can do it, but I don't want to. I'd rather talk about cancer. About 40 years ago in San Francisco, North Beach, I knew a ne'er-do-well. Let's call him Hank. Hank was a cranky old World War II veteran who was a naval guy and a little bit to the right of me. Made me look like a liberal. That's how right-wing he was. So we would argue a lot, because his right-wingism had no firewall of racism. He went right through that wall. He never heard of that wall. So we had a number of real bad arguments. But I liked the guy anyway. I didn't care. I mean, if he's a crackpot, he can't help it. So I got to know him over the years, Hank. Well, as the years went on, one day he calls me and he says, I'm in the VA hospital, and could you come see me? I said, sure, I'll come see you, Hank. I go to the hospital. He's laying there in the gown. Not a pretty sight for anyone. And he says to me, Michael, look. And he lifts up his left arm, and he has a grapefruit-sized tumor in his armpit. So the doctor gave him up for dead. She sent him home a few days later at the VA hospital. I said, Hank, would you be willing to try the therapy that Linus Pauling has put out in his book? She's, I'll try anything. Long story short, he goes on the mega doses, 30, 60 milligrams a day in divided doses and other nutrients. And he goes off the horrible diet he was on. I put him on a vegetarian diet largely. Well, as 2 months go by, the tumor starts to diminish. 3 months go by, it's almost invisible. He goes back to the hospital. The doctor looks at him and says, Hank, what are you doing here? He says, what do you mean, what am I doing here? He says, I came to see you. She said, but, meaning you should be dead, Hank. She said, well, what's going on? He said, well, I went on the Linus Pauling anti-cancer, you know, program with vitamin C, mega doses. And she said, oh, well, you've had spontaneous remission. So she wouldn't even give credit where credit was due, which is what the establishment does. She has her head in the sand. They have their own doxy. They have their own therapies. They're in the burn, cut, and poison school of treatment, which works in some cases, but not in all. And I'm into all. Whatever works, works to me. It's the same with religion. Whatever works, works. I mean, the fact of the matter is, there's an awful lot of great things in alternative medicine and a lot of garbage. And there's an awful lot of miraculous drugs in the real world of medicine, modern medicine, allopathic medicine, if you want to put it that way. And for me, whatever works, works. If you care to talk about it, call your doctor. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. The Savage Nation is presented by Swiss America at 800-BUY-COIN, the only gold company Michael Savage trusts. Hey.
Forever?
I'm out of politics. I have no plans whatsoever. This is my last stop. I'm going to serve the country in the extraordinarily privileged position the president has given me, the great challenges that I have, and move on. And I don't have to comment and won't comment on anybody contemplating a run for office anywhere.
And that's all, folks. That's John Kerry saying he's not going to run in 2016. This is his last stop. He has no plans to continue in politics. And I suppose he's looking forward to his next incarnation. Since he was Secretary of State, and we know where that leads, he could probably get a job as the world ambassador of ketchup. I don't know. Yeah. Why are Secretaries of State so anti-American? Why are every one of them in the position of taking the side of everyone who's against us? How does that work? And all of our allies, by the way. It seems the Secretary of State is fundamentally the anti-Secretary of State. How did that evolve? I don't quite get that. Anyway, here are the articles that I pulled from this morning that I was going to talk about. But by the time the show rolls around, 7 hours later, I don't want to do it anymore. So here they are anyway. Muslim arsonist of gay club was Obama State Department Arab cultural ambassador. The feds are calling it terrorism. A Muslim charged with and videotaped pouring gasoline on a gay club and setting it on fire was an Arab cultural ambassador for the State Department when it hosted visiting Iraqi journalists in Seattle. So that story came from DebbieSchlussel.com. Nothing we can say about it. Now, this was an interesting one. Macedonia adopts castration bill for pedophiles. I thought that would be an interesting topic, which is, should pedophiles be castrated? Your answer is, of course, yes. Will it happen here? Of course, no. Why? Well, let's ask how people become judges. Let's leave that one alone. Macedonia's parliament has adopted a bill imposing chemical castration on repeat offenders convicted of sexually abusing children. But the country's leading child protection group said Wednesday that the law is still too lenient. The Megjasi Child Protection League, which had campaigned for the procedure to impose on pedophiles. You know, I once was attacked for saying pedophile instead of pedophile. Then I said pedophile, and someone said it should be pedophile. I said in either case, they should be executed. Lawmakers voted Monday to make penalties harsher for convicted pedophiles, increasing the maximum sentence from 15 years to life imprisonment, and imposing chemical castration on second-time offenders. The procedure involves regular injections that decrease the production of testosterone. Now, that's an interesting treatment. Decrease testosterone production. The reason I track my attention is that there's so many ads now for testosterone for men. Like, you rub it on, like a deodorant in the morning. What does that do to men? The thing is, I would never use it for a number of reasons. It's not a comic statement. First of all, the reason that men, as you age, the reason nature has your testosterone levels diminishing is because nature has wisdom, and you're not supposed to be as randy as you were at 15. And the reason your testosterone levels are not supposed to be artificially increased is pretty apparent to anyone in the animal kingdom. Anybody who works around animals knows it's the same effect on man. But aside from that, you're not supposed to be in heat till you're 90. See, that's an interesting thing, is that men think that to express their virility, they have to be in heat 24/7 until they die. We're the only species on Earth who believes that. Most animal species go into cycles of heat, and it's periodic. It's not constant. The male animal walking around, let's say in the savannah, the male lion, he could care less most of the year. He likes to laze around in the grass, knock off a gazelle, and take a snooze. Once in a while, the hormones get him. He goes after the female lioness, and that's the end of that story. But he doesn't do it 24/7, 365 days a year. There's another anomaly about the human species that I had to tell you about. Now, there's a secondary side effect of testosterone that you should know about if you're taking it. Be cautious. Increased levels of testosterone, let's say artificially increased, increase your risk of cancer. Period. End of story. You're not going to hear that from the medical pharmaceutical establishment. In fact, I turned down an ad on my website from an underarm testosterone peddler. I hope the ad's not there. I don't want to get in trouble. But I said, no, I don't want to do it. I said, I don't want to tell guys to rub this stuff under their arm and become a randy old man. Who do they think they are? Bill Clinton? The next thing you know, Tom Sizemore will be saying that he used the Lincoln bedroom for reasons other than history.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Michael Savage.
Either they're crazy, super crazy, or totally insane. Most people who are legitimate and sane don't go into politics.
On Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
I met Bill Clinton when I did Saved by Ryan. This is the lengths I went to help keep him out of it, and I became friendly with him. Okay, this is a true story. When I met Bill Clinton, was a Saved by Ryan premiered at the White House, right? And Steven Spielberg and Tom Hanks are friendly with Bill Clinton. We all got flown on Air Force Two. We got picked up in L.A. Yeah, on the vice president's plane.
Driving that train.
Mm-hmm.
Wild cocaine.
Mm-hmm.
Casey Jones, you better watch your speed.
Anyway, this, I don't know if it's a rumor. It came out today on a website called Radar Online. They claim that Clinton romps with Hurley back in the day behind wife Hillary's back. I mean, that wasn't going to undermine. It's only going to make women like Hillary more. See, this is the thing to understand. I don't know what the Radar unearthed a secret audio recording during which the Hollywood actor, which had his own 3-year sexual liaison with Hurley. She, by the way, in her day, men would stop eating when she walked in a restaurant. They could not eat. The rest of the meal was finished. It was over. Even if they only had the appetizer, the rest was canceled. If she passed you, you looked at her as she passed you from the derriere, if I could say, forget it. It was over. The meal was finished. People asked for their checks. He recounts how the famously frisky ex-president once sent a plane to fly Elizabeth Hurley to Washington, D.C., where he bedded her, he said, in the White House, while First Lady Hillary Clinton was in the very next room. See, now, here's the thing about that. Let's say it's true or not true. How is that going to hurt anybody? So what, what are you going to make of this? He claims that Clinton insisted, Sizemore said that he had her phone number, but they were no longer dating. So the president says, I want a number. And Sizemore says he didn't want to give it to the president because it was private. See, Clinton insisted, give it to me, you dumb. You know what? I'm the commander-in-chief of the United States of America. The buck stops here. Give me her damn number. The actor obliged, but before dialing, he says the president was already covering his tracks, thinking of his obvious, his oblivious and long-suffering wife, Hillary, in the other room. Clinton said, I'm going to say I asked you about your uncle, Ted Sizemore, who played professional baseball. Sizemore recalls, that's the lie, don't forget it. Then Sizemore recounts, Bill Clinton dialed, wasting no time in getting down to dirty business with the stunning brunette, now 48. And he said, now again, this is all rumor. He said, Elizabeth, this is your commander-in-chief, Clinton said to the actress who played Vanessa Kensington in Austin Powers, International Man of Mystery. And although Hurley at first thought it was a joke, she played coy, but the president wouldn't take no for an answer. Clinton said, listen, Elizabeth, this is the president, Sizemore recalls. I don't have any time for this blank. I'm keeping the world from nuclear war all the time. I'm sending a plane to pick you up. Hey, that's a hell of a pickup line. I don't have time for this. I'm keeping the world from nuclear war. I'm sending a plane for you. That's pretty good. Hours later, he claims Hurley was at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. God. This is amazing. I mean, is this true? I don't want to get this. It's not really dirty. It's funny in a way. And he claims that they went on for a year. Here's the interesting part. Until Clinton ended the sexual shenanigans because he was falling in love with the charming actress 19 years his junior. At a certain point, he said to her, I don't do love, and I'm beginning to think I might love you, Sizemore says. Confronted with Sizemore's claims, the representative for Hurley did not deny the relationship, but Corley said that she would not be commenting on a relationship with Bill Clinton. Later, after Hurley issued this tweet, blah, 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 blah. Sizemore, who starred in Natural Born Killers before spiraling into a drug addiction, revealed the tryst between the politician and actress. In this recorded conversation, which took place at his hotel room in Manchester, Connecticut, where he was shooting a movie years ago, listen to some of the tape. I don't know whether to believe this. It's just fun.
This guy has more charisma than like 200 marks, 1,000 Brad Pitts. So I walked in the hall, he goes, do you still see her? I said, no. He went, you got her number, don't you? I went, yeah, I do. At this point, he turned to the secret service guy, and he goes, now it's real business. He goes, Kyle, that's enough. We'll be in the league of bedroom. It's right there. We walk in. There's Lincoln. It was so weird because there's Kennedy's rocking chair. There's Lincoln's bed. And dude, as soon as we get in the room, he takes his phone out. He goes, give it to me.
So Lincoln's bedroom.
Just like a man would go. She picks up and he goes, Elizabeth? This is your commander-in-chief. He goes, listen, Elizabeth, this is the president. I don't have any time for this shit. I'm keeping the world from nuclear war all the time.
But no one can see her but us. Me and the president, Kyle, and then I asked, who's the guy over there? He goes, my associate pimp. Don't ask too many questions, that's more. He's a Secret Service guy.
Well, I love that laugh, that pot laugh. You know that forced 70s pot laugh, that fake laugh? It's interesting, but what are you going to make of it? The truth is that, let's say this is true for a moment. We'll assume it isn't. A man is innocent until proven guilty. Even though he's been found to be guilty, we'll say he's innocent of these allegations, because we can't confirm, we don't know who to talk. But let's say that they're true. Do you think it actually hurts Hillary Clinton? I mean, she was putting up with this guy, sleeping in her own bedroom, minding her own business. So what are you going to do? Make her wrong for this? See, women are going to actually have sympathy for her from this, since most men are bad and dogs and act like him, if they can. Not all men. They're not going to get the guys who don't. They're going to call. But the truth is, you know it and I know it. You know, a lot of guys are like, so the thing is, it doesn't hurt anyone, but it's funny. It's just a funny story. So let's go back to the stories that caught my eye this morning. That was one of them. Macedonia adopts castration bill for pedophiles. Israel to stop seminary funding over conscription. This is a good story. Israel's finance minister says he will stop funding for ultra-Orthodox seminaries whose students do not enlist in the military. Yes! Yair Lapid's announcement Wednesday was in response to an order from the Israeli Supreme Court. Ultra-Orthodox Jews have for years been exempt from military service, which is compulsory for Jewish Israelis. The arrangement has caused widespread resentment among Israel's secular majority and featured prominently last year's election. A new system that would gradually reduce the number of exemptions and require all to register for service awaits parliamentary approval. The ultra-Orthodox have been demonstrating against the plan and condemned the court decision. They claim the military will expose their youth to secularism and undermine their devout lifestyle. Yeah, what a double cross that is. Wait a minute. The military will expose their youth to secularism? What, like defending yourself? instead of shuckling in a yeshiva? You mean you learn, may have to learn how to use an Uzi? What do you mean you'll expose the youth to secularism? They're supposed to learn how to defend themselves, not to just sit there with a Torah 24 hours a day and have their throats cut when their enemies come through the seminary walls. This is the best thing that could ever happen to the ultra-Orthodox, is to force their youth to learn how to defend themselves in the IDF. I'm 100% for this. Absolutely 100% for this. It's a great idea. Israel to stop seminary funding over conscription. They can't have it both ways. You can't go to a country and say that I'm against going in the military, but give me your benefits. I want the benefit of your son protecting me. I want the welfare benefits of your country, but I don't want to participate. In many ways, that's like the illegal aliens here. I know people are going to find it offensive, and ultra-Orthodox in Israel, are many of them are born there, going back many generations, but I think it's time for them to understand that you have to pay for your own protection at a certain point. That's the story. Next story. What's the next? Oh, this was a good one. This was a good one. This was a really good one. The Pope said that unjust unemployment could mean sin and suicide. That got me so angry last night. Pope Francis, who was increasingly emerging as almost as a mouthpiece for, I have to say it in a nice way so that Catholics don't get mad at me, his rhetoric is that of unrepentant Marxists. He went on to, again, extolling the benefits of sharing wealth with the poor as though we don't already do it. Where does 55% of my income go right now? Where's it going? Well, he wants me to give 95, maybe 110% of my income? How much welfare do I have to provide for the bums in our society? How many programs do I have to provide for bums who do nothing all day? I live in San Francisco. I see the armies of bums laying around in the middle of the day. They don't work. They have no job. What, they're unemployed and junkies and alcoholics because of me? See, if it was me, I'd put them in a work detail. I'd make them clean up. First, I'd have them start by cleaning the filth that they create in the streets. That'd be step one. You want a welfare check? Here's a broom. You want a food stamp? Here's a hose. Clean up your feces. What are you talking about? Why is the Pope on a warpath against working people around the world? That really got me upset, because he's not stopping. He's not relenting. He is absolutely repeating the tyrannical statements of every Marxist I've ever read in my life. Now you say, well, he's a Pope. So what? Somebody has to say something. Here's another story. See, I gave a Jewish story, and I said that the ultra-Orthodox are wrong. Now I gave a Catholic story. I said, I think the Pope is wrong. So don't accuse me of anti-papalism, whatever it's called. How do you say anti-Pope? Anti-papalism? I never had a feeling of it. I like popes. So popes were good. I even defended the World War II Pope. Remember I did a whole show on that back in the 90s about, because they called him Hitler's Pope, and I took offense at that. I don't forget which pious he was. But there was great evidence that he actually saved many, many, many thousands of Jews to the best of his ability, and any more would have cost him probably and the whole church their existence with that maniac Hitler. So he did what he could, and yet people smeared that Pope. I was defending him for years. So don't think it's anti-Pope. It's anti-Marxism of this Pope. It's very different. These are some of the topics that have, you know, attracted my attention. There are others, by the way. And I can't even get to all of them. It just shows you how many different directions we can go into in one day. And we'll go into all of them as the time goes on. 855-407-2822. Lewis on WLS in the great city of Chicago. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Good news, Savage. Hillary can't be hurt by this actress flaunt with a Billy. She can't be hurt by anything. The only thing she can be hurt by is another female candidate. In other words, if we can get the former governor of New Mexico or
bingo. That's right. She was great. I loved her.
Oh, you got to love her.
But she's very good. She's the only one who actually ever confronted Obama before Bill O'Reilly. That's a joke. The former female governor of New Mexico actually stopped Obama on the tarmac. Remember he tried to talk her down? She was good. She was good. I don't know where she is today. I don't know what she does for a living. I haven't seen her in a while. Israel, Isaac, you're up on the Savage Nation from the web. What's on your mind?
Yeah, hey, Mike. I just wanted to say hello to you. I've been a big fan of yours, and I've been over here in Israel for quite some time. And just wanted to give you a big shout out and hello from Israel. I'm in the military.
Are you in the military currently, Isaac?
Yes, I currently am. I'm currently on base right now in northern Israel. And I just came back from a patrol and about to go to sleep because it's pretty late here at night. But I figured I've been trying to call in a few times, and this time I got you.
Isaac, you know, I've been reading the Debka website. I was stunned over the weekend to learn. I'd forgotten that there are something like 10,000 or more United States Special Forces currently positioned in Jordan. Can you confirm that or deny it?
I'm not an intelligence, so I wouldn't be able to confirm or deny it.
I saw that over the weekend, and I said, what is going on here? They said that there are 10,000 U.S. Special Forces positioned right now in northern Jordan to prevent the war in Syria from spilling over into Jordan. And, of course, probably to prevent from spilling over into Israel, because there's been a buffer zone created in Israel as well in the Golan. So, anyway, look, thanks for listening from Israel. It's a great country. I haven't been there in so many years. I remember I went in 79. I went once or twice. I don't remember. The kids were young. I almost moved to Israel. I had my did I ever tell you the story about when I almost made the move to Israel and why I didn't, whatever happened? You'll never believe that story. 1979. I'm already out of time, and I'm starting to tell another true story from reality radio here on the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. We're talking about many different topics. Maybe seven or eight different balls are in the air. Not stuck on any one thing. If you care to join the conversation, forget about it. There's no lines open to the program. Apparently the show has taken off as I had hoped it would. I love the day part. I mean, I did the night show for a year. It was very hard to do, and I was always looking forward to this January. Well, here it is, February already. It's hard to believe. And I'm totally into the rhythm of it. The only negative is I've gained about 7 pounds because I'm eating differently. I've never eaten like this in 20 years. My clothing doesn't fit anymore. I eat like an opera singer. I have to put coal down into the burner in order to do the show. Nothing I can do about it. That's it. You need coal down in the burner in order to run the ship. You can't do radio on a thin diet. It's impossible. You could try radio without food. It doesn't work. Me, I'm on the opposite. See, most people think that if you load up food before a show, you're going to get sleepy. The opposite happens. I get fuel out of it. I need to eat like 2 minutes before the show begins, like two Chinese meals within 3 minutes is the ultimate diet for radio. I haven't had that today. No, today I had veal parmesan from last night. No, chicken parmesan. I don't eat cheese. Now I'm eating chicken parmesan. I'm eating the worst foods imaginable. I don't know what's going on. I don't care anymore. I'm just taking whatever I can get out of the refrigerator and eating it as fast as possible for the show. But I have more energy as a result. You can't go into this and do like a light holistic diet. It just doesn't work, infidels. Let me explain to you. There was another topic I wanted to do. What sound were you going to play for me now that I thought we were going to do? We had something lined up or not? Okay, Sizemore. Let's hear more of Tom Sizemore on Bill Clinton's randiness.
So was Hillary a problem? He goes, no, they sleep in separate bedrooms, and they don't see each other until the morning.
All right, separate bedrooms, they don't see each other. Okay, I once wrote a whole thing on that, on the separate bedroom thing. That's not so unusual. Usually poor people sleep in the same bed. Symbol shot. Now, if you look back through history, man and wife, okay, starts out 90 days of incredible passion and heat. It's been studied by a German psychiatrist a long time ago. It very rarely lasts more than 91 days, maximum. Then it dies out. So what are you going to do at that point? Then it's like, could you please stop snoring or separate covers? So that's why if you looked at the upper middle class lifestyle of years ago, even in the French movies of the 60s, there were always twin beds with a little night table between them. Then people who really have money, then they move to separate bedrooms in the same house. Then if you really have money, you move into separate houses. Then if you really have money, you move into separate zip codes and then separate continents.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Savage.
Warning, The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
We will be answering the call of all of America because people need work and we're not doing right by them by creating work. I believe this caucus will put us on the right path and we'll give President Obama a number of executive orders that he can sign with pride and strength. In fact, I think that should be our number one agenda. Let's write up these executive orders, draft them, of course, and ask the president to stand with us on full employment.
Sheila Jackson Lee, who was a laugh line before Obama became president, is now becoming just hilarious, saying that the Congressional Black Caucus will be the ones writing the executive orders of the president is to rubber stamp. Welcome to the program. Now, we're not talking about that. You can't comment on that. There's other stories that we're talking. Some are serious. Some are silly. Some are rumors. You know, the Philip Seymour Hoffman death. No one cares. Most people don't know who he is. I liked him as an actor. But if you ask the average person under the age of whatever, they don't know who he is. They never heard of him. I don't know what the media is going crazy over. An actor, a Hollywood actor died of a heroin overdose? How shocking. How many movies was he in where he had a needle in his arm? I told you the movie he was in with a needle in his arm I liked the most, which was Before the Devil Knows You're Dead, one of the best, great Sidney Lumet movie. The Woody Allen is dead. No one cares about that anymore. They expect it. What, Woody Allen a deviant? Excuse me? And? So that's over. No one wants to talk about that. There's no there. Woody Allen allegations aren't new. We'll look back at the history of claims. Okay. True or false, we're not interested in it. So we'll put that aside. A waste of the paper. I recycle my paper, by the way, in my printer. I'm so frugal, I can't help it. I actually turn the paper around. People say to me, are you kidding? Famous author talk shows recycles paper? Yes. Just like it's blank on the other side. Why can't you just use it? Comes out fine. I love it. I feel better. I feel like I've done something good for the environment. I get a little green award for that one. Muslim arsonist of gay club was Obama State Department Arab cultural ambassador. Okay, can't comment on that. Then we go into the prescription drug abuse leads to increased use of heroin and the heroin epidemic in America. And I was going to ask you how heroin has affected your life, because I think that there's an awful lot of families that have been affected by heroin abuse in the United States without talking about prescription drug abuse. And the question is, why is heroin abuse at an epidemic level in America? Now, we know that opium production in Afghanistan is breaking records. What is that about? Our troops have been in Afghanistan for 10 years and opium production is breaking records. Okay, let's leave that one alone. That's not a good one. No, sir. Now, this drug once relegated to the gutter. I mean, who used heroin in your... If you're an older guy, people were junk, ugh, Phil, yeah, disgusting, right? And then you knew it was snorted at Hollywood because every movie showed, great. But now it's popping up at high school parties because it's $3 to $10 a hit. Who's doing this to our children? Who's dumping heroin on our high school kids? And where? What happened to the war on drugs? What happened with that? Then there's the Pope thing, where the Pope is now saying unemployment can lead to sin and suicide. It dawned on me that the Pope is a religious figure. I finally realized he's not a politician. Why is he continuing to hawk this Christian Marxism? He's saying that unjust social conditions like unemployment can lead to sin, financial ruin, and even suicide. And so the Jesuit Pope has frequently railed about the excesses of capitalism. That's very popular today. All the biggest capitalists in Hollywood are railing against the excesses of capitalism. See if they'll take 1% less from the producers, the financial backers, and see if the agents will take 0.5% less. The biggest libs take more. It's unbelievable to me. His message for Lent issued Tuesday echoed these same concerns. And he said, Francis urged the faithful to deny themselves certain things to help and enrich others by our own poverty? Excuse me? Where do you think my taxes go to, Pope? See, isn't there supposed to be a separation of church and state? Isn't the church supposed to preach the morality of the Bible rather than cultural Marxism? When did this start in the church? We're doing the best we can on poverty, Mr. Pope. Our taxes are through the roof. We have social benefits we can't afford. We're taking care of the world's hungry as best we can. We are welcoming all the illegal aliens, even though we don't want them here. We're taking care of them in our hospitals and schools. What do you want from us? So the Pope, I think, should understand that as a religious figure, we would appreciate it if he got out of politics. Am I wrong on this? Is anyone out there who's a Christian find it odd and offensive that the Pope is hawking cultural Marxism or social Marxism while hardly ever talking about morality? I think it's the Pope's job is to talk about morality. Now, the Marxists, the liberals will say there's nothing more moral or ethical than to talk about poverty and unemployment, and the Pope is therefore a better man for doing so. That's how they work. And that's what destroyed liberal Jews. Many liberal Jews who are well-meaning and very nice people don't understand that the ethics are not the sole teachings of the fathers. There's another side to the teachings of the fathers called morality rather than just ethics. So, like there was even a whole school of ethics that many liberal Jews went into. They left the religion altogether and they joined a school of ethics. They thought that I used to hear this from Upper East Side, libs. They would say, well, the religion is old-fashioned. The real interpretation of Judaism today is ethics. And that's why they become such preachy liberals. They want to tell you how to lead your life. So that's that problem. And that leads us to the next topic. By the way, you can call on any of these topics. I can't guarantee you'll get through it, 855-407-282. But you will probably get through. There's one open line. I got great callers. See, I get good callers. Each one is like a record, a good record that I want to play. I really want to play the records. I want to play the records called the callers. Let's go to Elliot on WABC and get rid of him. Elliot, welcome to the program.
Yes, Savage. About the heroin issue, I believe it's people like you that are the problem because you're ranting all the time about how terrible marijuana is, which is a relatively harmless drug. Meanwhile, these kids are getting heroin.
So wait, I caused the heroin epidemic, which started years ago. I caused it?
I said it's people like you with your
Let me ask you something. You said marijuana is a harmless drug. Didn't you say that?
Relatively harmless.
Whoa, stop. Don't give me hello. You're not in Katz's Delicatessen now. Take the pickle out of your brain. I want you to tell me about the toxicants that occur in marijuana. Let's put the morality aside. Shut up. What toxicants are found in marijuana? What toxicants are found in marijuana, pothead?
We went through this already. You're basing.
We didn't go. I don't know who you are. What are you, a deli clerk in Katz's? I don't know who you are.
I spoke to you before on this issue.
You didn't speak to me. I spoke to you. I let you on my show. What do you think? It's your show? Because you have a phone in the street? It's not your show. You're a caller to a national show. Show some respect. I'm asking you. If you can't have a rational conversation, I have to cut you off. That's the job I have. I want to have a rational discussion. What toxicants are found in marijuana smoke?
Fine, I agree. But
What do you agree?
I agree. Of course there's toxicants. Smoking is alien to the human body. But
Wait. You're just going over it like that's okay. Do you know that there are toxins in marijuana smoke that exceed the levels of tobacco smoke? Are you aware of that?
Can I talk? You talk.
No, not yet. You can't talk yet. No. Are you aware that there are levels of toxins in marijuana smoke that exceed that of tobacco? Yes or no?
I don't know.
Well, of course you don't know. That's why your ignorance was showing from the minute you opened your big deli mouth. You said that marijuana is a relatively harmless drug. You were 100% wrong. It's a very toxic drug. So I suggest that you stop drinking the seltzer, and maybe when the carbon level goes down and your carbon toxicity diminishes, maybe you'll have time to look up on Google toxicants found in marijuana. And maybe you'll understand it's not such a harmless drug. And that's not a moral statement, my friend. That's a health statement. I don't want to talk about marijuana. By the way, I have never seen people more addicted to marijuana than those who call the show to defend its use. The minute you say a word about the actualities of marijuana, they call and they start screaming that I'm this and I'm that. They don't want to know it. They're in denial. Marijuana is a very toxic substance. It's the road to heroin. You start on marijuana, the next thing you know, you're snorting a little cocaine. The next thing you know, a little pill at a party. The next thing you know, why don't you have some heroin? Oh, I don't use needles. No, no, you don't have to use needles. Just sniff it. Oh, okay, I'll try that. The next thing you know, you got a needle in your arm and you're dead in a doorway. That's all. Now I'm warmed up. Now I feel warmed up. He got my goat and I had to answer the guy. That's all. WABC Joe, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Mike. I wanted to say that you are the Umberto Eco of radio. There is nobody who has this niche. Especially going back in time, I think of Rat Boy and the French Bronzes and the Marin County High School student planting corn and the streets.
You go back that far? That's hilarious, the corn thing. That got me in such trouble.
I was trying to call you so many times when I was out in North Dakota. But anyway, no. Also, the three times for me that your passion just you knocked it out of the park was, first, if I may say, with all respect, was with dignity and sorrow you expressed the loss of your brother. And then, second, the urgency with which a songbird was building a nest. And lastly, when Pavarotti died, you played Nessun Dorma, the second greatest aria of all time. And, well, there were three greater tenors, but so much. And you spoke about how you embraced life, the human achievement. You do this, you paint pictures with your words. That's why I call you a semiotician or semiologist.
Joe, listen, you know a talk show host wants to hear someone who knows him that well. And I don't know how, you must have been listening to me back when I was on WABC, years before I was on the letter deficient station in New York.
EW.
Of course, now I'm back on ABC, but you're going back over 10 years, aren't you?
Yes.
Joe, I can't believe what you just mentioned. All of those things. And, you know, I asked the guys to put together today statements that I have defined that people will remember, because I was reading an editorial about the lethargy of the New York Times editorial page, and they're talking about how bad it's become and how lazy they are and how intellectually lazy they are, especially Andrew Rosenthal of the New York Times, and they go into how bad the editorialists have become and how lazy they are, and they ask Tom Friedman, they said, is an embarrassment, and they ask, what has Tom Friedman said that anyone remembers anymore? And the answer was nothing. And I said, wait a minute, that's a challenge to me as a talk show host. What have I said that people have remembered? And I was forced to actually write down phrases that people might remember I created. For example, sheeple, the stench from the bench is making me clench. Borders language culture, empty skirts, bums in dirty nightshirts, Islamo-fascists, Demokins and Republicrats, the sewer pipe of Hollywood, the old York Times, be here or be nowhere. I mean, there are phrases that I've created. The best one, I think, is liberalism is a mental disorder. Joe, since you know my show so well, which phrase, if any, pops out at you as something I've created?
It was the stream of consciousness about wives. That one, it was not a limerick. It was something about wives. That I'm trying to remember it. I can't. But it was wives, and it smacked of infidelity or something. It was very a smart sentence that you created. You've quoted.
Well, I don't want to put you on the spot. But why Umberto Eco? When men stop believing in God, he wrote, it isn't that they then believe in nothing; they believe in everything. But why do you compare me with Umberto Eco?
Okay, because Umberto Eco dissects how.
Uh-oh, he broke up. Sorry, his cell phone cracked. But that was a beautiful call. That was a beautiful call. If you care to comment on any of these topics, from pot to heroin to God, to the Pope, to Bill Clinton, to Elizabeth Hurley's behind, the phone number is 855-400-7282. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Welcome back to the program. We're talking about common sense, which apparently offends people on the program. And now all of a sudden pot is fashionable and considered benign when in fact it isn't. That's a minor topic. I really wanted to talk about the heroin epidemic. and what's responsible for the spike in use of heroin amongst the middle class, especially our even high school students. They're snorting heroin at an epidemic level. Where's it? How is this happening? First of all, they've made it cheaper in order to make certain that the children can use it. That's number one. Secondly, there's a cultural amnesia about the war on drugs that has been, I would say the anesthesia has been put out by the government. They want to anesthetize the entire country, saying, you know what? Hey, you know, legalize everything. Leave it up to the individual. Well, that's not freedom, my friends. That's slavery. It's that simple. Let's go to some callers. Joe on KSFO, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Michael, thank you very much. One thing that I like about you is that you're not afraid of the truth. I wanted to tell you that you're exactly right as far as it being a gateway. I'm a 40-year user. I'm addicted physically, psychologically. I hadn't started
wait,
that.
Joe, you're breaking up and you're saying you're addicted to marijuana. Marijuana is super addictive. You ask anyone who's ever tried to stop using it.
I know.
And by the way, marijuana is so addictive that I challenge anyone who's using it to stop using it and tell me how long they can go without having a joint.
The longest I've ever gone in 40 years is 3 weeks, and then I just can't take it anymore.
Well, okay, but Joe, again, to me this isn't a moral issue. It really isn't even an ethical issue. It's a medical issue. And the dangers of pot, to me, should be looked at through the lens of what damage does it do to the lungs. All we hear about is it's benign all of a sudden. It's good for you. It's not good for you. It's a great brainwashing to open up the whole society to using drugs. Okay, Joe, I wish you well. You know, I read years ago that those who want to kick marijuana, let's say they were smoking it for 10 years. They told me it takes 10 years of not using it to not have cravings anymore. That's what someone told me. If you smoke for 3 years and you want to quit, it'll be 3 years till the cravings go away. That's what somebody told me. So don't fall for the malarkey that it's benign, you can kick it anytime you want. That's addiction talking. This is a dangerous time in America under Obama, where anything goes, and if it feels good, do it. And why not do it in the road? And then attack anybody who says the opposite. Yeah, okay, you get it. I'll be right back with Laura Ingraham, my good friend, right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is 33 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the Savage Nation. Give me 15 minutes and I'll give you America. Right now, I have a fellow talk show host by the name of Laura Ingraham, but if she's a woman, could she still be a fellow talk show host is what I'm trying to figure out. Laura, you're a linguist. Can you be a fellow talk show host if you're a woman?
Gosh, maybe. Well, in these day and age, anyone can be anything, right? Gender doesn't really mean anything.
So wait, you're a trans... Right. Okay, let's not go there. But what would you say linguistically, since you speak Russian fluently? I was impressed when you're out here in the Bay Area a number of years ago, we went to a Japanese restaurant and a group of people were speaking Russian. How fluently you spoke Russian. How did you learn Russian so well?
Давайте говорить по-русски. Только. I learned it in the Soviet Union when I was in the college, but I took it from eighth grade, believe it or not, in a public school in Connecticut that was a kind of a magnet school for languages.
So didn't you adopt one of your beautiful children from Russia?
Two of my beautiful children from Russia and one from Guatemala. My two boys are from Russia. I got them in under the wire from Putin because, of course, he's now blocked all the...
You got the most beautiful children. I remember you...
Outrage, and I'm fighting...
Your kids are beautiful. I love your kids.
Thanks.
Laura, so you're doing radio. You're on Fox News. You're around all of my enemies. No, I'm just joking. No, I'm not saying... You're doing well. You're doing well. You're one of the few people, actually, you're the only woman I know of who survived in talk radio.
Well, it's look, you're like ripping it up all over the country. I mean, no matter where I travel, I hear you, and I hear people talking about your show. And I think what I see from the best people in the business is, and I've learned it over the years, and it took me a while to learn it, I think, is that funny is always better than political. I mean, I'm political, you know, politics is important, but life is much more than that. And,
I agree. I agree. I said on my show that Obama...
You're such a smash.
And I said Obama, Harry Reid, and Congress are not the sun, the moon, and the stars. I mean, they're important, but, you know, there's other planets, there are other galaxies out there. We have to talk about other things.
Right. I mean, and you know, look, if you're religious, if you have faith, I mean, we're here for a very short period of time, and you know, I answer to a higher power. I don't answer to, you know, these clowns in Washington. I mean, I happen to live in the Washington area, but I mean, if this is the center of your daily life, then it's a really frustrating and probably
Okay. Well, you're a devout Christian, and I've been talking about the Pope and his economic Marxism, which seems to be coming out on a regular basis. And I wonder how you feel about that. I mean, you're a devout Christian, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm a Roman Catholic, and of course, that means I'm a Christian. And, you know, look, the Pope is the vicar of Christ on earth. That's what we as Catholics believe, and that's what I believe. It doesn't mean that everything the Pope says is dogma, or that we have to believe it, or that we have to agree with it. And a number of things that the Pope has said on non-church teachings, I obviously don't agree with. And
well, he's railed against capitalism, income disparity, and the message is very much that of a Peronista in South America from when he was a young man.
Yeah, I mean, he's a Jesuit, so he comes from that tradition. But I think that we always have to remember that he did kind of shut down the liberation theology. In his own country, and I think a lot of the times when we hear the things that he says, they're out of context. We don't have the right translation. He doesn't speak English, and it's pulled on.
All right, well, look, I know you want to, look, you're a Catholic and a devout one at that, and I respect that deeply. But I'm wondering how a Pope can go from religion to politics so seamlessly without understanding that most people would rather that a Pope talk about the Bible from a moralistic point of view rather than from an economic point of view. That's more or less what I'm asking. But let's move on, because this is not funny. Now we're going from funny to not even serious. This is plottingly, let's say, dangerous for us to do. How about the Bill Clinton story? You heard about the Tom Sizemore allegations?
That he was looking for the chicks for Bill?
Well, he says that if you haven't heard the sound, you should play it on your show tomorrow. It's awesome sound where Tom Sizemore, whoever he is, says that he was dating Elizabeth Hurley, and then Clinton saw her and wanted her number. He gave it to him, and that the dialogue, we have the tape of it. It's amazing stuff. And the question was, will this affect Hillary's campaign? And I said, no, it'll only make women like her more. You agree with that?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to have any effect on Hillary's campaign. I mean, I think if Republicans start going down the Monica Lewinsky road, and start seizing upon those old narratives, I just think that's not going to work. I mean, I think.
So what will work? Tell me what will work for this Republican Party that we're all so nervous about.
Yeah, I mean the Republican Party. I mean, I think you can count on like one hand how many people actually speak for the American worker, the American middle class, people who are stuck in jobs that pay the same wages 10 years in a row or lower, given the standard of living. So, I think we need someone who actually speaks to those people, not someone who speaks to the global bull and the absurd globalist philosophy, which is done.
Well, I had a Texas congressman on last week, Culberson, who right on this show said that he's on a very powerful appropriations committee, and he said he can stop executive orders by cutting off funding. And people really loved that interview because it gave us hope that there's actually a way to bypass this man's attempt to do end runs around Congress. I hope he's right about that.
Right, and I think people want, Michael, a fighter. People want to think that you care about them. You understand that for the vast majority of the people who are working or who are out of work, want to work, or are working three jobs to pay the bills, these people feel like there is no one in Washington who gives a darn about them, who has a clue about how to make their life better, and who's going to do anything about it. And so if someone comes along and speaks to their concern, stops getting us involved in these stupid wars that just deplete our resources and make us weaker, and stop with this absurd addiction to so-called free trade that cripples our industrial base, which we've seen over the years, and stops with this nonsense that everyone who breaks our laws should be rewarded with either a path to citizenship or a path to in-state tuition. I mean, you speak to those issues, and you also have an optimistic pro-American view. I think you can turn politics on its head in America. But, you know,
Laura, you live in Washington, D.C. You are around politicians much more often than I am. I never meet one. I don't even know what they look like. The only politicians in the Bay Area are Nancy Pelosi, Barbara Boxer, and Dianne Feinstein. And frankly, thank God I never run into them. But you must run into politicians. Are they exactly as we fear?
Well, I mean, like I think there are people out there like Jeff Sessions who makes a difference. I mean, I think there are people on certain issues who really are, you know, are trying to buck the establishment. But as we speak, Michael, there is a movement to thrust Jeb Bush back into the center of American politics.
It's, oh, God, that, another dynasty? I thought that TV series ended in the 60s.
Oh, no, where's Crystal Carrington? And remember that? That was fun. Remember Joan Collins would always...
Wait, so if this goes on, you mean after Hillary's president for 8 years, her daughter runs? For another 8 years, and then one of the, and then Bush's nephew runs for 8 years after that?
No. My question is, you know, this is not personal about these people. I mean, they're nice people. It's not personal. But what is he going to say the first time someone in the Clinton campaign pushes someone to ask him, what were the big mistakes of your brother's presidency? Why did we leave the country weaker, more in debt, with America absolutely dead set against getting into any more of these wars?
And why did your brother, Mr. Bush, take out the Republican Guard and kill Saddam Hussein, who was our greatest, let us say, ally against Iran?
Iran.
When you think about that, I wrote it in Liberalism as a Mental Disorder 8 years ago. I said if they take out Saddam and the Republican Guard, we're making a huge error because the big winner is going to be Iran. Now, how come I could figure that out and the State Department couldn't and the military couldn't?
No, and Michael, I mean, again, it's not personal. People think it's about personality. It's not about this is about our country. We are losing it day by day. It's not about xenophobia. It's not about being anti-immigrant. Our economic vitality, our hope as a people, our freedom, our basic liberties are being eroded by an ever ballooning government that I'm sitting in the middle of right now. It just seems to expand out from Washington into Maryland, Virginia. It's expanding exponentially, you know, year by year, decade by decade. And meanwhile, the people's lives in this country, except for the upper income earners, are getting, as far as I can tell, worse and worse. Now, I don't know how long we can continue that way, but I don't think it's going to continue much longer. And if we're going to put up another book.
But I'm trying to increase my income as much as I can. I like to earn more money in radio, wouldn't you?
What's that?
I said I'm trying to increase my income on a daily basis. I want more advertisers and a bigger audience. Nothing wrong with being a bigger earner.
You do. But the problem, though, for the Republican Party and for our nation as a whole, is that that we have hollowed out the core of our country with our stupid trade policies, our stupid immigration policies, and economic policies that make it more difficult to do business here and make it more difficult to hire
people. Hear, hear, hear. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. The Savage Court is now in session with Michael Savage and Laura Ingraham. So, Laura, what's going to go on here? What's going to happen in the midterm elections? Give us a prediction.
Well, I think the Democrats are going to, you know, they're going to get a thumping. And I think we're going to see a lot of the people who end up winning are actually, you know, challenging the establishment. So I think the establishment thinks it's going to, you know, establishment of the party, kind of the Jeb Bushes of the world, Paul Ryans, those people. They think they have the upper hand nationally. They might, but you're going to see some interesting things happen. Arkansas, Alaska. I think Mitch McConnell is going to win in Kentucky. I could be wrong about that, but I think you're going to see an interesting resurgence of the type of nationalistic. In a positive way, I say, the nationalistic sentiment on the part of the voters that I think will give us at least a temporary shot in the arm going into the presidential election. But if it's Jeb Bush, I mean,
No, it can't be Jeb Bush. You can't say that. It's impossible. He can't win.
That's what I'm going to say is going to happen.
What, you think he's going to run?
Yeah, I think he's going to run. He's going to be the nominee. I mean, who's going to be the nominee?
I have one phrase for America if Jeb Bush runs, which is do svidaniya. Did I say it right?
Svidaniya.
Say it again. Do svidaniya, which means goodbye in Russian.
Yeah, do svidaniya.
Do svidaniya. Oh, do svidaniya. You have to connect the two.
Or you can say paka, which is so long. Paka. So long.
Which vodka? Which vodka do you drink? Do you drink Russian vodka?
I don't drink vodka. I had vodka when I was a student there, and I ended up in something called the Skoraya Pomish, which is the other, if you can translate that as fast help, i.e. ambulance, because, you know, all of us.
Oh, that's great. A vodka named ambulance in Russian. That works.
No, I went into an ambulance with a bunch of the Dartmouth kids because we were given some bad pepper vodka, and my stomach was like on fire. I could never.
Oh, so you're a wine drinker, if I remember correctly, right?
I occasionally, but you know what I like? I like Hendrix and tonic. I can have like one if I
well,
drink.
That's
I,
right. When you visited us, I had to go out and get you that Hendrix gin. I never heard of it. It's so remarkable. Who makes that stuff? And you demanded cucumbers as well, didn't you?
Yes, and very refreshing. And you had the refreshments all ready to go.
Yes. What in the world? Where'd you pick that up? At Cambridge, the cucumbers and gin thing?
No, a friend of mine, in the, I don't know what the heck it was. A friend of mine somewhere turned me on to it, and I said, "Why have I been drinking this wine that gives me a headache? One gin and tonic, and that's all I need."
I think it must be the cucumbers that help.
Laura,
you know very well what radio is and how much fun it is, but we're also hitting a hard stop set at 47 minutes after the hour. I wish you great, great continued luck. We love seeing you on Fox News, Laura. We love it.
Thank you. And I love listening to you all over the country. Thanks for doing what you're doing. You make me scream laughing sometimes. I have to drive off the road. I almost got
Okay, great.
Thank you very much.
Dos vidanya. I'll be right back on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. The Savage Nation is presented by Swiss America at 800-BUY-COIN, the only gold company Michael Savage trusts.
Tackling the subjects they told you never to talk about on the only conservative station in the Bay Area, Hot Talk 560.
House Republicans have a conservative solution to fix our broken immigration system. The plan? Step 1, secure the border and tough employment verification.
Yeah, right.
Step 2, anyone in America illegally undergoes a criminal background.
Sure, right.
Step 3, pay fines, taxes, and learn English.
Oh, that's a laugh.
What a chance at the
American. All right, well, we heard this. This is the Republican plan. They're gonna have English police. Learn English. I don't understand that one. Anyone who is here illegally undergoes a criminal background check. How will they check on 30 million people? Are they going to make them come to a police station and run their fingerprints? This is nonsense. Okay, pay fines, taxes, and learn English. That sounds good on paper. Who is going to collect the fines and taxes? Who is going to go into the communities without being called a racist for knocking on the door and saying to the illegal alien family, you haven't paid your taxes? And by the way, the big one is the big lie, which is learn English. How? A, who's going to teach them English? Do we have the schools for it? The schools can't teach English to children who are born here who come from allegedly English-speaking parents. So now they're going to teach illegal aliens English? What would that cost? How much would it cost for bilingual education to teach English to non-English speakers in order for them to become citizens? How many billions will that cost? You'll need a whole new department, under Obama. None, you know, it is broken, and I don't think there's a cure for it. It's broken, and I don't think there's a cure for it. You can't blame the politicians for reaching for straws, by the way. But let's go back to the other topics here on the Savage Net. End of the hour at 57 seconds? That can't be true. Is that true? No. I'm out of time? I can't. I can't do another thing? Where did they go? Where did the day go with all of what we've done? And the show is just getting started. It's just getting started. Well, I'm not supposed to say it, but everyone knows it. There's a whole third hour coming up across America, except in the markets where I don't have the third hour. So if you only get me for 2 hours, I'm sorry. I can't. I was told not to say that, but since this is that kind of show, I can't hold it back anyway. Well, here comes some more rain in the Bay Area. I thought there was a drought now. They're ready to charge us more for water. Now they're complaining that water is coming. Now the new San Francisco paper saying more rainy days coming. Now that's bad. First they're fetching about it was too hot and the reservoirs were dry. Now it's like more rainy days coming, like that's a threat because we don't look like Mexico anymore. Great. It's the Savage Nation. Be here and be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is a Savage Nation, Little Pagliacci. I love it. The clown, the clown, the clown. You want to hear art? Here's a heartbreaker. Don't start crying. I'm opening with it instead of rock and roll. That's all. All right, no one wants to hear highbrow. They want lowbrow. We'll go lowbrow. All right, let's go lowbrow. Let's get away from the political and show you how stupid people are in San Francisco and what lemmings they are. They're like lemmings. They're like lemmings. They need a snowy owl to come down and peck them and remove them from here. I open up the paper, the website, and it says, beef tartare is becoming a menu staple in San Francisco. And then they boast about all the menus, beef tartare and all of the sophisticated restaurants with the morons at Bully Bar, meat is first sliced and minced. And they go down to every restaurant selling beef tartare and another one serving lamb tartare and even chicken tartare in Berkeley. I said, are these people that stupid? No idea what they're eating? They have no idea about the health concerns of beef tartare? Bacteria and parasites such as Toxoplasma gondii, Taenia saginata. Who in the world would eat steak tartare? Moreover, who would ever eat chicken tartare? Who on earth would eat uncooked chicken? I don't understand anybody anymore. I don't know where they get this from. First of all, if you're a pregnant woman, never in the world eat uncooked food. Ever. Don't listen to the hippie next to you at the table telling you about enzymes. And that cooking destroys the enzyme. That's the latest insanity. Raw foods. If you're pregnant, never eat a raw food. Number one, especially raw meat. If you are have a weakened immune system, if you have any chronic illness, never ever eat steak tartare or any other tartare because you're liable to get Toxoplasma gondii. That's a parasite that can be found in raw or undercooked meat. I learned that when I was 4 years old. What culture on earth eats raw meat? And where did this start from? Well, you think it's an ancient dish. It isn't. It's not an ancient dish. It began in the 20th century in France, of course. How to work out for them. A dish popular in the 19th and 20th centuries. So now, of course, the San Franciscans think they're I'll have the tartare with the martini. I read about it in the newspaper. How sophisticated can you get? They wind up with all of these illnesses. They don't even know what they're doing to themselves. But it's very much like liberalism itself. You know, the words global warming while eating steak tartare. We got to stop global warming. Let me have another order of a martini and more steak tartare. They're like children following trends. That's why I'm talking about it. It's lovely living around them. They've given me a fabulous living. If it wasn't for the people of San Francisco and the Bay Area, mainly San Francisco, I wouldn't have been this famous. And this well off. Thank God for them. I mean, it's very, very much like Voltaire in Paris. I told you that. They asked Voltaire in his day, why, if he despises the Parisians so much, does he live there? And he said, that's his job. It's to comment upon the absurdities of their life. And he certainly knew how to write about the absurdities of the Nancy Pelosi of his time. You know, let them eat cake. I mean, don't you love Nancy Pelosi, one of the wealthiest women on earth, talking about the poor? That's really a scream. Or the Vatican talking about income disparity and, you know, redistribution of income sitting in the Vatican. That's a good one. That's another great one. That really works. First question is, why doesn't he sell the paintings in the Vatican basement and give the money out to the poor of Africa? I mean, that would be logical, wouldn't it? How smart do you have to be? If you had a comment on these topics, then you're more miserable than I am. But the phone number is 855-407-282. The steak tartare is assertively seasoned with horseradish. Oh, that's sophisticated. Here's another one. American Kobe-style beef mixed with French mustard and served with garlic popovers. Now, I'm not making this up. Here's another one. Then he mentions a bar. The Wagyu beef, $20, before combining with sumac marinated onions, Urfa chilies, black pepper, and olive oil and sea salt. That sounds wonderful. So in other words, you get your toxoplasmosis with marinated onions and oofer chilies. That sounds like a very good dish. Here's another one, another bar, that flavors their uncooked beef with pear, caramelized onions, fennel, almonds, and an egg yolk. That's very low in cholesterol and very high in bacteria. That sounds like a good dish to eat. That's great. Typical San Francisco insanity. But they know all about global warming and homophobia. That's the important thing. Let's take some calls on beef tartare right now on the Savage Nation. Charles on WBOB. B-O-B. Charles on Bob. W. Bob. Charles, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, my aunt went to France about 30, maybe 40 years ago and ate that beef tartare over there. She got a parasite that settled in her eye, and it changed the iris of her eye from round to horizontal and a little bit deformed like a sheep's iris is. And
that's
Now
you know why the French speak the way they do. They're probably all suffering from a bacterial infection from their cuisine.
Yeah, but it was a parasite in her eye, and I don't think they ever cured her of it. I think she died with it.
I don't understand how people who are allegedly educated and worldly can ever eat raw food, especially raw meat of any kind. Where did they grow up that they would think that raw meat is healthful?
Yeah.
What's the trend? Why would this be considered healthful to eat raw meat? Thanks for the call. You could say, well, I know where it came from. It came from sushi. In other words, if you can eat raw tuna, why can't you eat raw hamburger, is the question. And then, by logic, progression, so now eat raw chicken. Let me tell you something. Don't. That's all, without going into it. I almost died from chicken twice in my life. I'm leery of chicken. I was in Asia two times, and I almost died twice. Once in Japan, which allegedly has high levels of hygiene, I had a chicken dish at the airport. It was cooked. I was almost dead from food poisoning within a day. Lucky I recovered in a hotel room in Tokyo. Years later, I went to Thailand. I was in the Chiang Mai province. Again, a chicken dish, almost dead, turned green in the bed. They wanted to take me to the hospital with 104 fever in the middle of the night. And luckily, the person I was traveling with, Mrs. Savage, said, over my dead body, you're not removing them. She was afraid they removed my kidneys. She was afraid if they put me in the hospital in Thailand, she'd get back like a corpse without organs in it. They would sell them to the highest bidder. In those days, my organs would have been worth something. Today, forget about it. I don't think they're worth as much. But that's the benefit of time, you know. Eventually, they don't even want your organs. 855-47-282 is the phone number. Savage Nation, moving on to... You know, I moved away from politics because everything is political. Everything is political. Marijuana is political. The heroin epidemic is political. The Pope is political. Politics are, of course, political. Toxoplasmosis is now political and trendy. I guess that's going to become trendy. It's like snorting heroin. Have you tried the beef tartare? No. No, afraid of getting toxoplasmosis? Don't be stupid. Guess what's wrong with toxoplasmosis, man? You've had a high from a bacterial infection? It's really spacey, man. You ought to try it. Yeah, I mean, don't knock it, man. Toxoplasmosis as an infection is pretty cool. I mean, the hallucinations are really, really wild, man. I mean, really, eat that tartare. You're going to get a bacterial high like you just can't believe. Gene on WFNC, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, thank you. Have a good day taking my call. Hey, I know you're a victim of toxoplasmosis.
Yes, and you still eat tartare?
No, I don't eat tartare. I eat rare steak, and that's how I acquired it at about age 5.
You ate the steak that was still pink in the middle.
That's exactly right. Any undercooked steak will put you at risk for it.
Thank you very much. I'm glad you called. People have no idea what they're doing, and the people in San Francisco are amongst the most foolish on the planet. Everything to them is a trend, without any consideration whatsoever for what it may be doing to their health. You know, whenever I go to a restaurant, do you know that I always have to say, when they say, how would you like your meat cooked? I said, I want you to burn it. They said, no, pink. I said, what did I just say to you? And I say to the waiter. I said, burn it. I said, I don't want to see any blood. I don't want to see any pink. The same with fish. When did it start that they give you pink fish that's pink in the middle, when we know that there are worms in fish at a high rate of prevalence? Who would eat raw fish today without understanding the risk that they're engaging in? Apparently millions and millions of people do. So anyway, I'm just telling you, the politics of foolishness is rampant in this country. And it's better to talk about this than it is to talk about Obama, let me tell you. We cannot blame, by the way, toxoplasmosis on Obama. As much as we'd like to link the spike in toxoplasmosis in the population. I've tried to find a way to link it to Obama. There's no putative link between liberalism and... There's a distinct link between eating raw meat and liberalism. I don't know a conservative on earth who would eat raw meat. Maybe I'm wrong. Now I'm going to get a call on our hunter. Mike, you really went over the line there. Now I hunt, and I hunt with a crossbow. I want to tell you that. When I bring that game down, I cut the meat right out. I eat it right in the field uncooked, Mike. I'm going to get one of those calls. They hunt with a bow and eat the meat. Eat the animal alive. Yeah, Ted Nugent will call now. He hunts with a crossbow, and he eats the animal alive while it's screaming. Mike on KSFO, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Michael.
Yes, sir.
It's good to talk to you. I got a friend of mine. He does these system cleanses, and he's eating sushi all the time, and he's wondering why he's getting sick.
And isn't it interesting that the people who are always concerned about detox are also eating sushi, raw fish all the time?
I find it pretty interesting.
And what, he's a sickly guy? He's detoxing? Does he do what, coffee enemas?
No. He's a pretty healthy guy. You know, he exercises all the time. He's into the martial arts and all that, been doing it all his life. But he asked me about it the other day, and I said, remember what I told you about the food laws in the Bible? You're not supposed to eat that stuff.
That's right. You don't eat anything with blood running on the plate. The ancient Israelites were not stupid with regard to that.
Absolutely.
No blood. No blood on the plate. That's all. There's a reason for it. Blood often carries foodborne illnesses in common sense language. Mike, thank you for listening to the program. By the way, hold it. Give Mike a free order, that $50 gift of Shari's Berries. And by the way, Shari'sBerries.com, is that the website? Berries.com for the great chocolate-covered strawberry berries. Enter Savage in the promo, right? Berries.com, and you get your 40% off. That stuff is good. And it's cooked. It's cooked chocolate. The berries are not raw. No, they're strawberries, but they're covered with cooked chocolate, so what could be better? 855-407-282. I'm glad. This show is going so fast, I don't know how to deal with it. Why is it so fast? I've never had a... This was the fastest show in history in my own mind. I don't get it. Is there something wrong that I'm feeling so good? I don't know what's wrong. I'll be right back. I'm going to check it out.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
All right, we're going from steak tartare to the callers on the Savage Nation. Let's go to York, Pennsylvania. Station is WEEO. Paul, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Thank you very much. I'm just calling because you made a comment about the Pope before. And one of the things, one of the premises, I know this is a wide-open question about socialism as a philosophy, but one thing I find people putting it down so often as this horrible, horrible thing for the United States, that all of a sudden the United States is going to go downhill if they accept socialism. But I don't know one capitalist has ever refused taking Social Security or taking Medicare or any of that sort. And the Pope is a Jesuit.
Wait. Now you're jumping around. So you're arguing we would be better off with an economic system? Wait a minute. Are you arguing that we would be better off if this was a socialist economic system?
No, but, you know, but there are elements of it that are worthwhile. You know,
Well, we have them. We're about 60% socialist already, beginning in great measure by Mr. Nixon.
Yeah, I don't know how great that
is. But if you actually study the transformation of nations from democracy to a socialist state, they often become indistinguishable from a mafia state. Anyone can tell you that. And let's begin with the obvious. Soviet Union, 60 million dead. It was a mafia state run by a dictator named Joseph Stalin and others. Let's look at Cambodia under Pol Pot. Cambodia was a moderately mixed nation economically, and then Pol Pot, who was a college professor, very much like Obama, went to Paris, studied Marxism, came back, introduced Marxism to Cambodia, unleashed the Khmer Rouge, who were the basically gangbangers of his nation at that time, who then enslaved the entire middle class. Aren't you aware of that?
Yeah, of course I'm aware, but you're getting worked up about, and you're turning off into another route.
No, I'm not turning off into any other route. I know what you're arguing. You're arguing that we should accept gradualism for socialism.
No, I'm arguing that all of socialism is not bad. Socialism, for instance, in Ireland, if you know anything about Ireland, it's more of a socialist country than it is in the United States.
Yes, and Ireland is a basket case economically, isn't it?
So UC Berkeley in the 70s.
Paul.
Go ahead.
Ireland is now a basket case economically.
I agree with you on that. I agree with you.
All right, and the young people are fleeing Ireland again like they did during the potato famine because the entire economy collapsed. Not from capitalism, but from gangsters who use the capitalist system in an illegitimate manner, the same way some gangsters are misusing the capitalist system in this country.
Absolutely, but they're misusing the whole property situation in Ireland. They're taking property and selling it to other Irish people.
Paul, right, I understand that. Look, if you study what happens in societies that are misled by those who would argue that we need more income redistribution, as the Pope is arguing, what you find is that there's a pseudo-democratic path that is being offered, and it often leads directly to the well-known vertical mafia criminal system that you can see in Chavez's nation, that what he left behind, what he did to the banks, what he did to the people. If you look at it with clear eyes, you will understand the consequences of socialism, not in a textbook, but in a nation. Just look at what he did in South America. The regime combined inside authoritarianism, fascism, militarism, populism, drug trafficking, and terrorism. That's exactly what he did. If you look at what absolute power leads to, you don't have to look any further than our neighbors in South America and what Chavez left in Venezuela. You'll see the transformation of the nation from a democratic nation to a fascist nation, all because of Chavez's lies about the benign nature of socialism. Understand that there are many, many well-meaning people coming out of the universities today, freshly minted Marxists, who will lead you to your own demise. This is the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It's the Savage Nation. We jam with calls, as usual. I do culture better than anybody in the radio business because I'm interested in the topic. No one can do it better than me. It's one of my favorite topics, along with, you know, other topics that I specialize in. I don't have to blow my own horn. You just listen, you'll see what it is, and make your own decision. And let the chips fall where they may. We're talking about a cultural blizzard that is hitting America. First, it's the Coca-Cola Super Bowl ad in many languages, which offended, let us say, 90% of the audience. I'm sure there are 10% who were not offended, and you're welcome to believe as you wish. But the fact of the matter is it was offensive. Let me just put it in context. If Coca-Cola ran an ad in China, do you think the Chinese would welcome hearing the song go from Mandarin to, let us say, Korean, to Japanese, to Arabic, to Hindi, and then to English? Why should you let the melting pot melt down the pot entirely and destroy the entire pot that was supposed to be a melting pot? Since when did we start catering to immigrant groups and let them dictate the direction the country should go in? Let me put that in another way. Many ethnic groups have come here and added so much to the society that people by nature absorbed some of their some of the elements of these cultures. For example, what food is more popular in America than Italian food from ethnic point of view? None. Why? Did someone force us to like Italian food? No, it's just a great cuisine. Everyone loves Italian food. That's an example of multiculturalism that results as a result of a natural gift to the society, not forcing it down our throats. So that's where I'm coming from. I can go down the list of other cultures that have come here and added elements to our language, to the cuisine, to our way of life, but the people absorbed it because they wanted to. There were things from the from, let's say, foreign cultures that they liked. That's funny, you know, a Jewish phrase, an Italian meal, a German phrase, a Lithuanian, whatever it may be. But no one forced it down their throats. This, on the other hand, is forcing it down our throats, and we're regurgitating it and saying, no, we're not going to go for it, Coca-Cola. That's one man's opinion. Now we have the New York City mayor saying he's going to close schools for Muslim holidays and for the Lunar New Year. And immediately the Hindus are screaming, we're disappointed. We want it also closed for a Hindu holiday called Diwali. So where does this end? Why not close for Atheist Day? Why not close for the Wiccans or Satan Day? Better yet, Mayor de Blasio, close New York City schools 365 days a year. Keep them closed. And then maybe the kids will learn how to read, write, spell, and what the nation they live in is actually called. It's the Savage Nation. Those are the main topics, which is this juggernaut of multiculturalism. Another topic is the Woody Allen scandal that's emerging, whether it's true or false, it's still a scandal, and how he's being protected by friends in the media. Friends in the media, of course, and in Hollywood will defend him, and it's strange because they're all so on the side of women, aren't they, don't you know? How is it that all of these liberals who are always on the side of women, even if a woman sneezes and says that someone offended her, they're right behind her. But when it comes to Woody Allen, that woman doesn't exist. So you have to ask yourself about that hypocrisy. So a religious woman sent this to me. She says, for those who love the philosophy of ambiguity as well as the idiosyncrasies of American English, and it goes like this. Number one, one tequila, two tequila, three tequila, floor. Some of it's cute and corny. If man evolved from monkeys and apes, why do we still have monkeys and apes? I went to a bookstore and asked the saleswoman, where's the self-help section? She said if she told me, it would defeat the purpose. If someone with multiple personalities threatens to kill himself, is it considered a hostage situation? Is there another word for synonym? Where do forest rangers go to, quote, get away from it all? Next, what do you do when you see an endangered animal eating an endangered plant? If a parsley farmer is sued, can they garnish his wages? This is corny. It's on the level of Jack Benny and Bob Hope. Would a fly without wings be called a walk? See, this is funny because it's sort of like non-English speakers would ask these questions. Why do they lock gas station toilets? Are they afraid someone will break in and clean them? What was the best thing before sliced bread? One nice thing about egotists, they don't talk about other people. How is it possible to have a civil war? This is very funny. It's actually the use of language in a very intelligent way. If you try to fail and succeed, which have you done? Why is there an expiration date on sour cream? Can an atheist get insurance against acts of God? When there's a black and yellow sign on the street with the words children at play, is the sign removed after the children grow up and move away? Come on. It's cute. I figured I'd try. You know, once in a while, corny jokes are funny. So you know what the topics are. It's the multiculturalism. It's the Super Bowl ad. It's the Woody Allen scandal, or whichever side you're on that. Of course, Barbara Walters is the doyenne of everything wrong in America. She made herself self-important, and apparently she's a very important woman in certain circles of the news. She defended Woody Allen, even though she's a big yakker about feminist values. Listen to clip 8.
I know Mia. I have a good relationship with her. But I've been with Woody many times with his two daughters. He's got almost a 20-year-old marriage to Sunyi, which started as a sensation. It's a solid marriage. He has two children, two girls. Bashay is 14. Manzi is 13. I have rarely seen a father as sensitive and as loving and as caring as Woody is and Sunyi to these two girls.
That doesn't mean a thing. So in other words, the feminists should be outraged at Barbara Walters for using such a lame excuse for an accusation like this. But that's ridiculous. There are many married men with happy, solid marriages who are thieves. What does it have to do with anything? But it doesn't mean that he didn't do it when she was a 7-year-old, tell her to lay it, look at a train set and touch her. I didn't say he did, but she said he did. So which side do you take here? I don't know. It's a tough one. I don't like false accusations. I think there are far too many of them. On the other hand, I don't happen to like Woody Allen. I think that he's done more damage to the American Jewish male image than anyone in history. And let me explain that one, why I am queasy about Woody Allen, as brilliant as he is. Let me explain it. In the 1940s, there was a black comedian named Stepan Fetchit. They called himself Stepan Fetchit. He became very rich and very famous by playing the servile black male. And the American white audiences just loved him because it was a stereotype of this servile black man. It was like, yes, sir, you know, that kind of thing. Well, the whites lapped it up. They just loved it. And he went on to riches and fame. Woody Allen is the Stepan Fetchit of the Jewish people. He portrayed the weak Jew in a way that no one else had ever done. Jerry Lewis, in a way, did it, which is why the French loved Jerry Lewis. I finally broke the code on that one. I never could understand why the French loved an American comedian. I think Jerry Lewis is great, different than Woody Allen, by the way, because Jerry Lewis was just a wacky, great, crazy, great, brilliant, talented man. He didn't, let us say, harbor well, let's say, gets stuck or hung up on his ethnicity, Jerry Lewis. On the other hand, Woody Allen played on his Jewishness to make his way in the world, and by putting down the image of the American Jewish male, again, the larger audiences loved it. Oh, all Jews are like that. You know, you remind me of Woody Allen, and they think they're giving you a compliment when they say that. So now you understand why I have a little distaste for Woody Allen. Now, having said that, I'm introducing my bias, okay? But I don't know what actually went on. All I want to ask is the question, why is Hollywood, who is so sensitive to female and female complaints of any kind, any suggestion of impropriety, as perhaps they should be, without going overboard, why are they suddenly dismissing this young lady's statement that he did this to her? Why? Why would you immediately dismiss it? That's all. I don't have an answer. It's that simple. There's another topic I actually want to talk about it, because this was just approved for colonoscopies. It's called the pill cam. It'd been approved in Japan and many other countries, but the gastroenterology guild wouldn't permit the FDA to approve the pill cam because it would end their racket. You know what I mean? I mean, let's be honest. I mean, who likes a colonoscopy? That's like liking dental surgery. You know anyone who looks forward to a colonoscopy? Please don't tell me that you do. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to know about your brother-in-law and his proclivities. I don't know anyone who likes a colonoscopy. I went 5 years ago. I swore I'd never go again. Nothing would be worth it, what I went through. Never. It was humiliating. It was the most humiliating experience of my entire life, having a colonoscopy. I said, never again. He said, you come back in 5 years. I said, over your dead body, to the gastroenterologist. I said, you're never seeing me again. That's the last view you ever have of my derriere, doc. You're never seeing me again. I'm never going in there. So now it was just approved, I think, today or recently, the pill cam. It costs very little. It's the size of a vitamin pill. You swallow the thing, and over the next 10 hours, it sends images to the doctor's computer. And if there's a growth, it shows up. No need for the kielbasa. No need for the Valium. No need for the... No, I'm serious. A horrible experience. 2 days you're taking that void in your gut. Horrible. Terrible. So I'm gonna have to look for a doctor in my neighborhood with a pill who does the pill cam. It can't cost that much. But the guild, the gastroenterology guild, doesn't like this thing. 855-407-2828. I'm taking a break from immigration because how much can I do of it? I've only done it for 20 years. You know where I stand on this. Again, the phone number is 855-400-7282. Be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Yes, I've put out an ad touting immigration reform, meaning amnesty, and it's being funded by none other than the undershirt-wearing Zuckerberg. Zuckerberg is one of the lowest forms of humanity, in my opinion. The man makes a fortune, God bless him, and then instead of keeping his mouth shut, no amount of money is enough for Zuckerberg of Facebook. So he now works with the illegitimate to push amnesty so he can have cheaper labor. And then they mask it. They wrap the desire for more greed in a sugarcoating of compassion for the worker. So I want to play for you the new ad that I cannot believe they would put out, touting immigration reform, calling it a Republican ad. Listen to clip one.
House Republicans have a conservative solution to fix our broken immigration system. The plan? Step one, secure the border and tough employment verification. Step two, anyone in America illegally undergoes a criminal background check. Step three, pay fines, taxes, and learn English. No amnesty. What a chance at the American dream for those brought here as children. Step by step, House Republicans want to fix the immigration problem, which will strengthen our economy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. This is a good one. So let's go down the proposals of the Republicrats for no amnesty. Let's see. Step one, secure the border. Haven't they done that already? Why must anything new be passed to secure the border, since I, Michael Savage, and many others have been screaming about it for at least 20 years? What do you mean? If we pass the law, then they're going to secure the border? They could do that without a new law. I'm sure there'd be a million Americans who would volunteer their time to build that wall. Two, toughen employment verification. That's already the law. What do you mean toughen? It's already the law. Now, wait, this is the best part. Anyone in America illegally, they use the dirty word according to the Democrats, illegally, undergoes a criminal background check. Who is going to conduct the criminal background check? Are they going to knock on the door of every immigrant family in America and say, can we see your papers? Now, here comes the best. Step three, pay fines. Who is going to collect those fines? Who is going to teach? Here's the best one. This is why I really ran this room. Learn English. Now, are they going to create a new department of English police? Who are going to be the English police? That would mean Obama would have to create a whole new department of, I guess, English police. 855-407-282. Well, as we roll into the end of hour number three on the Savage Nation today, Wednesday, February 5, in the year of our Lord, 2014. Is that right? 2014? Yeah. God, it's been thousands of years I've been waiting for this day. Here are the headlines on michaelsavage.com, home of the Savage Nation, where borders, language, and culture prevail. Topic number one, Chuck Schumer. Up Chuck Schumer and Paul Ryan, Rhino, are talking about immigration. And if you look at the board of the so-called Americans for a Conservative Direction, it's all rhinos and liberals being funded by Zuckerberg. Anyone want a one-party system? Well, it doesn't matter whether you want it, because that's what you have. That's what you have. What else is on michaelsavage.com? Obama's next executive action, create climate hubs. I have no idea what a climate hub is. Sounds like a code word for giving out more money. Michael Savage takes over Sean Hannity's radio slot on 52 of the best stations in America. Thank you for being here. Suspected heroin dealers busted in actor's heroin overdose probe. Today we've been talking about why is there a heroin epidemic in America? Dope, tar, Chiva, diesel, D-block, heroin. But why? Why is this such an American problem? The U.S. has about 4% of the world's population, and we're consuming more than 80% of the world's oxycodone supply. We're also consuming more than 99% of the world's hydrocodone. Now, these are prescription drugs, yes. There's an epidemic of that as well. But why has heroin, a drug once relegated to the gutter and outcasts of American society, junkies in other words, and Hollywood parties, all in one the same, by the way, why is heroin now popping up at high school parties in the suburbs? And at $3 to $10 a snort, it's perfectly priced for both the hardcore junkie as well as the curious high school student. Choice, anyone? Would you like choice? Would you like a child to have choice and just try it for themselves? That's what liberalism leads to. Yeah, unbelievable. Speaking of what liberalism leads to, Bloody Sunday in Alabama and Maryland, black teens have been arrested in horrific attacks on old white men. Has it made it to the old York Times? Meanwhile, the Pope meddles again by assaulting workers, extolling the benefits of sharing wealth as though our taxes aren't high enough. I think the Vatican ought to sell the Vatican art and put their art where their preaching is. If you haven't seen Obama's half-brother, you can see his picture on michaelsavage.com. Read the interview with Michael Savage in The New Yorker. I'm the only member of the radio world ever glorified by The New Yorker. Here's some good news. Nancy Pelosi and George Lucas were slapped down in San Francisco by the Park Trust. They wanted to take over an eight-acre site of a public trust and turn it into a monument to George Lucas's years in Hollywood with pop art, but the Presidio Trust shot down Pelosi and George Lucas's plan. It's hard to believe that liberals would attack liberals like this. I don't know how this happens, but it happened. It happened right here in San Francisco, the home of the cable car, Chinese food, and whatever else you want. It can all be found right here in San Francisco. Speaking of San Francisco, I'm going to give you a few phrases that I coined over the years on the Savage Nation. No one else in radio can match this. Are you ready for these names? These are savagisms. You ready? Sheeple. The stench from the bench is making me clench. Borders, language, culture. Compassionate conservative. Empty skirts. Bums in dirty nightshirts. Islamo-fascists. Clipped-haired, mean-faced Democrats. Demokins and Republicrats. The sewer pipe of Hollywood. Old York Times. Be here or be nowhere. These are just some of my phrases. Oh, my goodness. Did you see what's happening? The train is coming into the station. I hear it coming in. And I recommend you go to the bookstore and check out Train Tracks, my semi-autobiography.